Well, we are going to spend a little bit of time in God's Word, which is a great thing. And we're going to start off by going to Acts chapter 3. I know fellowships have been a little bit erratic as far as us either having them or people not, you know, being elsewhere. But I have been doing a little series on preaching. And on the subject of preaching Christ. And the word preach, biblically, just means to proclaim or to hold forth or to herald forth. And so to preach Christ would be to proclaim things concerning Christ, who he is, what he did, what were his accomplishments, what they mean, where he is now, what he's doing now. So it's the things concerning Christ as far as preaching. And in preaching, there becomes, if a person receives the word spoken, there will also, what's associated with it, is a repentance in the individual's heart of the things that they have been doing or are doing. And repent, we went over that, and the word repent means to change your mind. It's basically all it means is to change one's mind, change one's thinking. And when you do so, there's a change in purpose and a change in actions that's supposed to follow. So, and it's part of preaching, you know, the result of preaching. Somebody hears God's word, they realize that they haven't been doing what God has said to do, whether it be concerning Christ or concerning their lifestyle or whatever, and there's a repentance, a decision to change. And in Acts 3:19, one of the times that Peter was preaching the word, he says just so. Verse 19, it says, repent, and that just simply means to change one's mind. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And we looked at the word converted also. The word converted means to turn around, to change directions. And a good use of that, or a popularly known use, is in 1 Thessalonians. Convert just simply means to turn. So his call was to repent, you know, to change your thinking, and then turn. Change the direction you're going in. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. And as we know, when Paul and company went into Thessalonica and first started speaking God's word, there were a lot of people who got born again, and they made a change in their lives. And verse 9 describes that. It's chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned, and that's the same word for convert back in Acts, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So they were serving idols, they heard God's word, they got born again, and then they turned to serving God, which is part of the result of preaching Christ. It's a great thing to do, you know, where a person can hear God's word, get born again, and turn their life to a direction towards God, just because of the words that a person can speak. Just amazing. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to Luke, but not yet. So today I'd like to look a little further in preaching, and that is described in Acts chapter 2. So with preaching comes a repentance and a turning and a changing in our lives. And in chapter 2, verse 37, it's towards the end of Peter speaking God's word on the day of Pentecost, explaining what had just happened with the receiving of the Holy Spirit, as we know. And it says, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when they heard what Peter was preaching, they were pricked in their heart. And the word pricked means to pierce. And he jabbed them, and it with the words concerning Christ, and it pierced their heart. Not their physical heart, obviously, but the heart of their life, their thinking. And it just pierced it. It jabbed them. It was like, ooh. But in a good way for them. And it led to it was such a piercing, it led to the question of, all right, what do we do about this? I get the problem now. What do we do? And Peter had the answer of repenting and, you know, getting born again. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. It had such a major effect on our lives that they asked that great question. Men and brethren, what do we do? Chapter 24. This is, we're going to read a lot of the chapter. Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. And he approaches two guys that were walking along. We know the record, and they're talking. They're very sad, and they're talking about the things that have just gone on. And Jesus Christ kind of walks up next to them and starts talking. And verse 13, we're going to pick it up. It says, And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't recognize him at all. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto them, Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Have not you heard the news? And he said unto them, What things? I've always thought that was funny. A humorous heart. What are you talking about? Why? What's going on? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. You would think they'd be pretty excited, but said they still don't understand everything that's going on. Verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And now he's going to preach Christ, the things of Christ, unto them. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now there was a pricked heart. They pierced him with the truth, and they were like, their hearts burned with them. It was like, and their eyes were opened. Let's go to verse 44. It describes it again. And this is Jesus appearing to the 12, to the apostles, and not sure if other believers. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So he taught them what God's word said concerning the promises and prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and their hearts got just so blessed. But it pricked their heart. It helped them to understand God's word. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Preaching God's word just got them to a point where their eyes were opened up to what God's word says. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to go start in verse 6. And take note, the first few verses here, Paul and company, they're traveling on an itinerary to preach God's word, and they're being guided as to where to go, where not to go, to speak or not to speak. And you would think in preaching, wow, I can go anywhere, say it anytime, and that's that. But that wasn't the case here. Verse 6, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia," that's the cold region of that area. That's what they call it. "The Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." Now you would think, you know, for God to say, "Hey, don't speak the word there," you know, it's contrary to what you would think would be the will of God. But God knew that that's not the spot to speak right now. After they, verse 7, "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not," allowed them not. It was like, come on, God, I mean, we're trying. You're just holding us back. That's what. So they got so mad they quit. They said, "God's just holding us back, not letting us do anything." Verse 8, "And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, or asked him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" Now there's guidance. "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of the Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in the city abiding certain days." It doesn't say how long, but they were abiding. They were probably speaking the word or waiting for that opportunity. I don't know, but they were abiding. "On the Sabbath day," verse 13, "we went out into out of the city by a riverside where prayer was known to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." Asking where people pray around here. Somebody must have said, "Hey, they go by this, you know, they're by the riverside," and this and that. They went there and they started speaking God's word. Verse 14, this is great. "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Isn't that great? So they're trying to go through different parts. God said, "Don't go over there." And go. And so they keep going a different direction. "I don't want you to speak." Then he gives them the revelation of a man, a vision of a man in Macedonia. He said, "Come on over here." And they immediately go. They get to a city where they think, I guess, God guided them to go to. They start speaking. And God had Lydia waiting. And she hears the word. And the Lord opens up her heart. coincidence? I don't think so. You know, we're not the ones that open people's hearts, but we what we do is we speak the word, and God does the opening. We bring those words to their ears, and it could prick their heart. And if God's able to work in their lives, God will open their heart. Just like when Jesus Christ walked with those two men, and they said, "Did not our heart burn within us?" It just electrified them on the inside. So Lydia gets born again. It's just great. Just really wonderful. The working translation that Walter Cummins worked on this verse of verse 14, you know, showing how did, the question is, well, how did this happen where God opened the heart? It's, the working translation says, "The Lord opened her heart as she gave attention to the things that were spoken by Paul." So basically, Paul spoke, she listened, she considered, and the Lord opened her heart. You know, she believed. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Very familiar verse of scripture. So we preach to prick a person's heart, to pierce their heart with truth. And then if they believe, God's got something to work with. He can open their hearts. Chapter 3, verse 5. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." You know, we do what we do. We speak the word, and but God's ultimately the one that's bringing the increase to the body of Christ with it. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. So if I was to give this teaching a title, I would call it Preach to Prick. That's what we want to do. We want to preach to prick, to pierce a person's heart with truth concerning Christ. And then God can work in that situation, and a person can get born again. So it's just a great thing. So let's read verse 37 again in chapter 2. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were able to pierce their hearts with the truth of God's word, and it made a difference. And it's not our oratory abilities that does it. I mean, there are people who may speak better than others. I'm not one of them. But with my lack, if I'm speaking truth and directed by God, those words have just as much effect as somebody that would be like a golden-tongued orator, because it's the words of God. The five senses abilities are way down there on the list. They're good to have, but way down there on the list. It doesn't change whether the person's going to get born again or not. Really what it is whether our effort is in wanting to walk with God and allowing to be led by God, to be directed as to what to do, not to do, what to speak, what not to speak, perhaps how to speak it. Just like Paul was, you know, the Indonesian guy says, "Don't speak a word." Well, he didn't. He was, and now had he tried, who knows what would have happened. They might have killed him because they're so pissed, or nobody would have believed. Either way, he would have been wasting his time. Later, it was a different story. But at that point, Lydia was the one to hear it. He brought him all the way up where Lydia was, and then they got put in jail. Then the jailer got born again. You know, it was walking with God and being directed by God. Another example of that's in Acts chapter 8. So our preaching, we should believe and desire that God helps direct us as to who to speak to or when or where. It's just the way it is. I remember, it was a long time ago. I I don't even remember who the other person was. I asked them if they would want to go witness him with me. This is a long time ago, and we went to the boardwalk on Long Branch, and it was summertime. And so we walked all the way down the boardwalk and all the way back, and it just seemed like I was not inspired to speak to anybody. Everybody looked like a stone wall to me, and so I just, and I felt very discouraged. I was like, all right, we came here to speak the word, and I'm not saying nothing. And I just was like, well, something's got to happen. I don't know. I just thought, well, that's where we should have went. And we're walking back, and we're about to get off the boardwalk to where the car was parked. And there was a guy sitting on a bench on the boardwalk, and we walked right by him, and God said, turn around. So I turn around, and I introduced, he's sitting by himself. I introduced myself to him and the other guy. And I just started talking about the day of Pentecost. And 5 minutes later, the guy was speaking in tongues. He was so excited, and he goes, well, can I do that? It's like, yeah, I taught him how to do it. He just started doing it. And I thought, look at that. I thought the whole night was a waste. And I felt like, nothing happened. But really something did. It's just that, I don't know if the guy, if we walked by that bench before and he wasn't there, or we hadn't, I don't know, but it was just a God direction. Now, if he wasn't there, I probably would have maybe felt stupid or something, but really the reality was nobody was there to speak to. I mean, a lot of people there, but nobody apparently was ready. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, this is Philip. After he went to Samaria and spoke a lot of God's word and lots of great things happened, then God guides him to the next step. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So here he's being guided as to where to go. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So he's given a more specific direction, guidance as to what to do. And Philip ran thither. He must have been excited. He ran over there and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. How about that? There's the invitation. Who guided him to get to that point? God. So, verse 32. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the guy gets born again, and great things. But look at how God worked in that circumstance. Just tells him, go down south unto Gaza, then directs him to the chariot. It's interesting. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. In our preaching, we are endeavoring to prick the heart of the listener with the truth of God's word concerning Christ. But God's the one that does the work on the inside. We bring the truth of God's word to the person's ears, and our work is to do it as God guides. You know, where it is, how it is, what the words are, you know, that type of thing. Mark chapter 16. This is at very end of Jesus Christ on earth, he's about to ascend. Verse 15. I'm in the wrong book. End of the wrong book. Okay. And verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And verse 20. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord," what? "Working with them." Look at that. "The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. The Lord working with them. And was the Lord working with Philip when he said, go down to Gaza? Go attach yourself to that. go get near that Philip, that chariot. Or Paul in there walking through the areas, God saying, don't speak the word here, or don't go up there. You know, it's a guiding. And the results are as God's guiding us to people who want to hear. So sometimes the places where we are, they're more godly than perhaps we're aware of. Where we end up or how we do things or whatever. And so we're not result-oriented. We just want to do what God wants us to do. And God's the one that opens up the doors as we speak. So one more verse. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Then we have our Bibles open. And this is a real privilege for us to be able to do this. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." We're workers together with him. So we do our part, he does his part. It's a two-part harmony. We're the ones that have the privilege to be ambassadors for Christ, to speak the word of God for reconciliation. And it's just, I'm sure all of us have many incidents that we can speak of where we knew God was working with us or guiding us to speak to a certain person. And you know, it must have really blessed Paul and Silas when they spoke the word by that riverside and Lydia just lit up. Just lit up. I remember doing that with Peggy. I was witnessing at the Monmouth University when I was a little youngster. And I was faithfully going to the student center and witnessing, and one afternoon, I was going really from table to table, and Peggy was sitting, I didn't know Peggy at the time, Peggy was sitting with another woman, and I approached them both, and I introduced myself, and I don't know what I was speaking, but I was sharing God's word. And so I came to a question, and I said, "Do you have," and I was really talking mostly to the other person that you were sitting with. Peggy just, in my mind, was just happened to be there. And so I asked the girl if she wanted to come to fellowship or had any other interests, whatever I asked her, and she said no. And Peggy said, "I do." And so Peggy started coming to fellowship. But, I was guided to keep going to that place and keep speaking the word. And then that was that. But it's what we do. So it's great. You know, and there are times where maybe we would never see the person again. It doesn't matter. We just speak it. And maybe somebody else is going to come along and water that hearing of God's word. So we'll see just what happens. But we all heard it somewhere along the line, whether it was from a TV set or from a church or from a friend. Somewhere along the line, we heard about Jesus Christ. And maybe it took 3,000 times before we said, "Oh, okay." I don't know. Susan liked me for a whole year before I recognized it in high school. Well, you just don't necessarily always pick up right away on things. You know, somebody could be saying God's word to you for a long time and it's just like not registering. And then one day it clicks. Who knows? So anyway, we had that great privilege to preach Christ and try to prick their heart. So.